for these that have gathered here today. I pray your blessing upon this service and that you'd meet needs of hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to 1 Chronicles 16 and 10. And we'll read one verse and then we're going to move on. We're going to use several verses, and if you would keep your finger in your Bible there so we can turn back and forth. I'd like to call your attention to the theme this morning of seeking the Lord is necessary. Seeking the Lord is necessary. 1 Chronicles 16:10, glory in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Let's read that one more time. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Then in James 4:8, we read, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Obviously, this does not pertain to geography. It's talking about the attitude. It's talking about the heart. And He will draw nigh to you. Now, this is one of my favorite verses. I depend on this. If this is not true, nothing else matters. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. I think that we're all about as close to God as we want to be. I think if we wanted to be closer to God, we'd get closer to God. It all depends on what we want to do. If we draw close to God, He'll draw nigh to us. He's promised that. That's for everybody. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, thinking one way and then the other way. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So today it's our purpose to draw attention to two phrases from the Word of God. This morning we'll focus on seek the Lord, and tonight we'll talk about preparing to seek the Lord, because the Bible talks about it. We search for water when we're thirsty. We grasp for water when for breath when we can't get a breath. Those are the two most urgent needs that the body has, is breath and water. Did you ever get lost in the mountains? I have. I drank the wildlife when I got lost in the mountains. I began to wonder if I was going to make it out. And water became very important. And just like that, we should seek the Lord. And we will find Him when we search for Him. And there's seven things this morning that I'd like to just draw attention to briefly as time gets away that will help us to seek the Lord. And first of all is Romans 1:20, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Now keep in mind, God has not left Himself without a witness. God has never left any group of people, any language, any place on the earth without a witness. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And here it says that the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, even His eternal power and Godhead, His authority, so that they're without excuse. Nobody will ever stand before God and say, well, I didn't know. God won't send you to hell because you didn't know. You do know. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sun, the stars. The Bible in that Psalm 19 talks about their voices heard throughout the earth. So it's a matter of responding to what God has shown. And God makes flowers and vegetables turn toward the sun. I don't feel sorry for me, but I was raised in my mother's garden. And then I graduated to my grandfather's cornfield in Las Padillas Field. And I'm not sorry. I have the advantage over some people. I've learned a lot of things in the garden studying. God really does. He knows how to make Bermuda grass roots. Did you know that? God knows a lot about making stuff. He knows a lot about making roots. And one of the greatest thing in the world you can do, I mean, it's okay to know Einstein's relativity. It's okay. I love to hear the Philharmonic orchestras from London and New York, and I love all that. But I tell you, none of that is greater than planting a seed and watching it sprout and grow. And you'll never do much of a greater thing than to bring a child a cup of dirt and a seed and say, here, punch this seed down in this dirt and say, pour this water on it, and then set it in the wind and say, now we've got to watch this, see if the seed's going to come up. That's important. My mother never gave me a cup. We just went out in the garden and did it big time. And I watched all this stuff growing, and I noticed that it showed up at the table, and we enjoyed eating it. And so God has a way of doing things with seeds. And it's one of the areas where God has said, I'm around here. Pay attention. God's been here. God's watching over all this. And one thing you'll notice in particular in growing things is that you have to get it where the light can get to it. Did you ever plant tomato plants inside and it doesn't get enough light, and little old spindly, thin, stringy plants will come up, and you it's like thin spaghetti. It won't stand up. It won't live. It won't produce. It's got to have enough sun. And God teaches us that what sustains our stomachs and our bodies, that is the plant life, it has to have the sun. Without the sun, it won't grow. And the plants will turn toward the sun. Did you ever plant sunflowers in your yard, the garden? And those things have got an uncanny system. They just, when the sun moves, they move. They twist on the stem and they follow the sun. Now, do you think that it's too far-fetched that man, just in that way, needs the Son of God? Is that too big a stretch? That man needs the Son of God just as much as tomatoes need the sun? God has given this, I think, when He makes flowers and vegetables turn toward the sun. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Where are you this morning? You ever been real thirsty? I came in one day about to die of thirst in the house, and we always had half-gallon jar of water in the refrigerator. And I came in and snatched the door open, and there was no half-gallon jar of water, but there was a quart jar. It looked like water. I grabbed the top off of it and glugged it down, and my mother just reconstituted some Cairo syrup. It's not the same. My heart, my panteth my soul after Thee. God has spilled Himself lavishly on every rose and every sunset and on every funeral. I don't know how much funeral going you do, but we ought to get acquainted with that. Seems like I've lived in funeral homes for 50 years. And someone has said that tears are the telescope through which men can see God. And there are a lot of people that will never see God until they see Him through tears. I'm not trying to be unkind. I don't need to read a book on that. Some of you are acquainted with tears. Some of you have experienced grief you can never put in words. Some of you carry a sob in your hearts when you smile. And some of you have hurt so bad you want to die. And some of you have prayed to die. And do you know what the Bible tells you to do when it's like that? 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know that little chorus? He careth for you. Sing it if you know it. He careth for you. In sunshine or shadow, He careth for you. You need to take that home with you. Let's sing it again. He careth for you. He careth for you. In sunshine or shadow, He careth for you. Now let's do it again, ladies. Put some harmony above that, will you? He careth for you. He careth for you. In sunshine or shadow, He careth for you. And there's a sister verse to that. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your burden will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. You never heard that? Need to take that one home too. Let's sing it. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your burdens will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. There's a lot of misery going on in this life because God has a way and I don't want to go that way. God says we ought to seek Him. God commanded the Jews to seek Him in 1 Chronicles 22:19. If you open your Bibles there, please. 1 Chronicles 22:19. Barbara and I have been reading through the Kings. Everybody ought to read through the Kings about 100 times. And that's in reverse alphabetical order. It's Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. The first and second books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. You have more detail in Kings. And Chronicles is a kind of a summary. And if you want to see how to mess up your life, I'll tell you the cheapest way you can do it, quickest way you can do it, is to go over that, read through those, and pick out the worst kings and copy them. And you can really mess up, you can fluff up your life in a hurry if you'll just copy some of those kings. it seems like it's a crash course in idiocy. Why couldn't they get it? Why couldn't they see that? Why were they the head dummies? They were the kings. Well, they were people before they became kings. That was a problem. And here in this passage it says, 1 Chronicles 22:19, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." Set your heart. You are in charge of that. God has put you in charge of your heart. You say, but I know too much. No, you don't know anything of the sort. Your heart's your problem. You're not too smart to believe God. Just take my word for it. You're not too smart to believe God. Your heart is in your way. That is the problem. The will. And he said, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Now, if you haven't got around to that, or if you've dabbled at that a little bit, maybe you ought to think on this verse. Set your heart to do it. Just decide you're going to do it. "Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." They just got back in town. They've been off down in Babylonville. And God's been taking their Sabbaths out down there because they were too aggressive. And God said, I want you to do the Sabbath thing. And they said, we're too busy to keep the Sabbath. God said, I want you to let some of the land lay out. Well, we've got to raise these crops. We can't trust God to obey Him. We've got to take things in our own hands. So He let them get by with it for a while. And then said, now it's time to take out your Sabbath. So He sent them down to Babylon for 70 years. And He specifically says that He sent them down there until the Sabbaths are taken care of. The ones you wouldn't do, I'm taking them out for you. So they were slaves and bondmen down in Babylon for 70 years. And they're coming back home now. And there were three deportations going out to Babylon. And there are three incomings coming back from Babylon. And we need to remind ourselves that Babylon is where our soldiers are today. Iraq, it was the old capital of that region. And it has always played a great role in history. And it will continue to play a great role. So he said, You get things in order now. We're going to rebuild a temple. And you're going to have to latch on to it and give your heart to it. And you're going to need me before you do this. You can't do it without me. 1 Chronicles 28:8. "Now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." Now here seeking the Lord gets into seeking His commandments, seeking His word that He's given these people. And dear friend, you know whether or not you're seeking the Lord. Don't ask anybody if you're seeking the Lord, because they don't know. You do. You know whether or not you're seeking the Lord. And if you don't know whether or not you're seeking the Lord, you're not seeking Him. It's awfully hard to seek the Lord and not know you're doing it. But He says, seek the Lord. And another thing here is that the prophet helps men know about seeking the Lord. 2 Chronicles 15:1. "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin." Now these two families of people were the ones in the south. They were left for David's sake. The 10 tribes in the north had already been hauled off by the Assyrians, and these two were left, and they were about to take flight as well. They were coming back, and they didn't know how to pick up the pieces, and it wasn't a sure thing. And there's some things in your life that ought to be and that God wants to do for you that it won't take place until you seek the Lord, until you acknowledge Him as your leader and your provider and your guide. Two things I always pray for, and that is for the leading of the Lord and for His power to do what He wants me to do. I don't have any interest beyond that. There's no need for me to get up a picture of something or a big plan for something and say, God, come and bless what I've decided on. That's not the way it works. He says, Asa's talking to the people here in Judah and Benjamin. The Lord's with you. While you be with Him, and if you seek Him, He will be found of you. Now, I've been finding this down through the years, every once in a while, I mean it's almost every week, at least every month, I'll meet somebody that says, well, knowing the will of God is just too hard. I can't seem to know the will of God. Well, the rabbits don't have any trouble knowing the will of God. The birds don't have any trouble knowing the will of God. They just do what's before them, what God cut them out to do. And doing the will of God so many times is, we know what it is, but we really don't want to do that. We don't want to go there. But He says, if you seek Him, He will be found of you. That's one of the surest promises of the Bible. If you want to seek the Lord, He will be found of you. And I've met a whole bunch of people who want to put this in the framework of the philosophers or what they've read in the paper or the friendly advice of somebody that they ought not to be talking to, giving them advice about God, and it amounts to idle chatter and gossip. You don't find out how to deal with God unless it's coming from the Word of God. And I see people every day, and I fear that I might do the same thing, that I'd make some of the blunders that these kings of Israel and Judah made. They're up to date. The new versions of them. The new versions of blunders that we can have if we really want them. If you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. And again, I need to emphasize this. This praying business is not asking God to come down here and bless what I've decided. It's a matter of seeking the Lord. Seek Him. And if we seek Him, He will be found of us. They're living the Christian life just pretty well narrows down to that. Verse 3, now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found to them. Slow learners. Trouble is one of God's best preachers. We can ignore the human preachers, but we can't ignore trouble. So God has to use trouble preachers sometimes. And, well, good morning. What's your name, Trouble? Why are you here? I'm a preacher. I've come to teach you some things. When they, in their trouble, did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. I have been talking with people one-on-one for a long time. I never even tried to keep records of it. If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't keep records of it. There's too much sorrow and too many tears in that to keep records. But at least 80% of the continuing problems that people have is because they won't sing that second song we sang. Let go and let God have His way. Seek the Lord. Do what He told you to do. The next thing that I observe about seeking the Lord is some of God's people are dumber than an ox. You can't be a good mixer and go around saying that. I picked it up from a prophet. Isaiah said in Isaiah 1:3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." That word consider means they don't even think it through. They're not interested in the proposition. They're not interested in picking it up and looking at it. And Hosea, another prophet of God, says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Oh, they don't know their ABCs. No, it's not talking about that. Oh, they don't know how to count to 10. No, it's not talking about that. It's not talking about math and English and filling out forms and being able to count money. It's not talking about that. Those things are good to know, but that's not what He's talking about. This is about rejecting knowledge. "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased," that is, as they prospered, "so they sinned against me, therefore I will change their glory into shame." Dwight, very fittingly, was talking about the United States being the Babylon of Revelation. I've pondered on that for a long time. Is it the physical Babylon that's going to be rebuilt? Or is it the United States when the planes hit the towers in New York? I want to tell you something. I can't tell you what happened to my soul that day. Not for the people that were in it. Primarily, although I knew that people were dying there, what shook me is that that went right straight into the Scriptures, that Babylon was destroyed in 1 hour. And let me tell you something. I did some pacing the floor with my eyes shut that day. I watched those towers come down 100 times as the replays were there for several days. And I kept going back to the Scriptures. Oh, Lord, is the United States the Babylon that's going to be destroyed in one day, and the merchants will beat their breast and wail? The ship's owners. Where is it? Lloyd's of London? Is that where the... No, it's Manhattan. The United States, New York. That's where the records and the offices are. I still don't know all the details about this, but we have all the characteristics of Babylon. Seek ye the Lord in His Word, Isaiah 34, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Someone told me years ago that the fellow that won't read is no better off than the fellow that can't read. We've got a land of Bibles in America. There are bookstores all over the America, and Bibles. You go into a home, it's hard to go into a home today that doesn't have a Bible in it. But they're virtually unread. Most homes have a Bible in it because it's a thing to do. It's like a rabbit's foot. If you have a storm, go pick up the Bible, rub it like a rabbit's foot so the lightning won't strike us. That's overstating it a little bit, but it's not far. We've got to have the Bible in the house just so God will look on us and see that we're not totally His enemy. We've got a little bit of the form of being a Christian, you know. We've got this Bible in the house. Well, good. I see a lot of Bibles out at the shopping center. Somebody's pitched them in the back window and the sun's been cooking them and they've fallen apart. I hope that's not their own Bible because it's no shape to read. And I don't know why you see all those Bibles in the back windows of cars on the shopping center. You see those Bibles? Maybe you've got one in the back of yours. I don't know. But I hope you got another one that you're reading. Seek ye the book of the law. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Revelation talks about reading the Word of God. And I'm afraid that we use the excuse that I'm too busy to read and get up earlier. But I can't get up earlier and then go to bed earlier. Work it in. If you have to get up to go to work, then get up to read the Word of God. Take a few minutes and read the Word of God. God said to. And I appreciate the preaching that's been going on here for all these years, but I want to tell you something. It is not possible from this pulpit to preach and teach all the things that God's people need to know. If you've got a Bible at home, you need to be opening it up and reading it as a family. And if you can't read it as a family, you need to read it as an individual. You need to cover the Bible. At least every 2 years you need to read through the Bible. Two chapters a day will get you through the Bible every 2 years. Four chapters will get you through in 1 year. If you can, you need to read the Bible through once a year. Two chapters in the morning, two chapters at night. Work it in. If you like to watch sports on the TV, that's okay. But if you're reading sports on the TV, you've got time to read the Bible. If you're keeping up with the soaps, I don't know why, but if you are, I've got to ask you, how many times have you read the Bible through? It's a matter of priority. God gives everybody about the same amount of time every day. And we're supposed to manage that time and put enough priority on the Word of God to read the Bible and pick you out some verses to memorize while you're at it. When your Bible lays gathering dust and you're too busy for the Word of God and prayer, where you are is on Trouble Street. And you're on your way to Disaster Avenue. And a little further on, and you will be at the intersection of Arrogant Boulevard and Have My Own Way Highway. And pretty soon you'll be approaching the city of the chastening hand of God. That's where you're headed. You see, we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. D-O-D apostrophe S. You don't own yourself. And if you're acting like it, stop it. If you're saved, you belong to Him. Being a Christian is a radical thing. I didn't come up with that idea. I read it from the Word of God. And it applies to me first. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, you seek the Lord when He's drawing you. In fact, anymore, I wonder if not some of the most effective things that could be said to lost people, has the Lord been drawing you to Himself lately? They know whether or not God's been drawing them. You can get a lot of stories when you ask people, has God been drawing you lately? And they'll say, well, I don't know. You know, a funny thing happened the other day. You can't be saved, you won't be saved, unless the Spirit of God draws you and convicts you of your sin and righteousness and judgment and makes those things real to you. That happened to me in the bean market when I was... Did I tell you I got saved in the bean market? God's not out to sell you a used car, okay? God made you for Himself, and He made you for eternity, and you're going to live somewhere forever and ever and ever. That's the nature of your being. And I decided when I was 9 years old that I was going to spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. And it's been a good trip. And when I get to the end of the trail, he'll be down at the airport to pick me up. I'm not worried about that. The Lord said in Genesis 6, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, that's the nature of God's Spirit, is to strive with man. You remember Jacob wrestling with the angel? Wrestled with him all night, and the angel put his leg out of socket. And the angel said, it's getting daylight, let me go. Ridiculous out here wrestling like this with a man. He said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And Israel then limped on his leg the rest of his life. Kind of a signature of where he'd been. God strives with people. When the Lord's striving with you, don't mess with the Lord. Recognize when the Lord is dealing with you and drawing with you. I'm not the one that draws. It may be a little child that's talking to you. It may be at a funeral. It may be through the singing of a hymn. Seeking Him is the best thing to do. My daddy emphasized, he must have told me at least 100 times, son, it's cheaper to change the oil than to wait until the dirt and acid have destroyed the bearings in your engine. I never knew my daddy to use cheap motor oil. In fact, I think he picked out his oil. He'd ask him how much it was, and he said, have you got anything that costs more than that? He wanted to put the best oil in his car, in his trucks, his log trucks, lumber trucks. He didn't want any cheap oil in his machinery. And it's just a whole lot cheaper to prevent a wreck than to fix one after you've gone end over end down the side of a mountain, you know. I've been watching this thing go on. just put your foot on the brake. That is so much cheaper than riding down over the bluff or smacking somebody in the rear end. It's cheaper to prevent a wreck than to fix one. And it's so much cheaper to seek the Lord than to go through life your way until you've trashed yourself and then finally decide, I need to call on the Lord. That's what I need to do. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Get serious with God. In Hebrews 10 it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, God draws, but if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You want to fight with God? He's on one side and you're on the other. And the worst thing that can happen to you is God let you have your own way. Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. You know this in this passage, you know that's first directed to save people? It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God for saved people. Oh, but I thought that it was just poetry and beautiful songs and get to heaven and we'll join the angels and we'll play harps and that's what the Christian life and the reward is all about. Well, there's a lot of that too, but God says, be ye holy because I am holy. God has ordained that we live surrendered to Him. And He says in 1 Corinthians 11, for this cause some of you are sickly and some of you sleep. That is, some of God's people, some of the Christians, decide to go their own way. And God made them sick. They didn't pay attention to that, so He killed them. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts? They lied about what they did to the money from the property they sold, so they looked like big shots. God killed them. They probably are saved. There's a sin unto death. John talked about it as well as Paul. There's a sin unto death for the Christian. And that's the reason why that it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This business of being saved is not a matter of singing a few hymns and going out and doing your own thing all week. That's not what living the Christian life's all about. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's the verse, G-O-D apostrophe S. In Hebrews 3:15, he says, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And on that occasion, several people died that day. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. And you know, God did not make you to take away your fun. God doesn't say, repent and turn to me so that from now on you'll be without any laughter and nothing wonderful going on in your life. That's not the way it is. God says, I want to do some great things for you. I want to bless you in this life. I want to take you home with me and fix you up a place that you want to live in for all eternity. But you must repent of your sins. You must give me the control of your life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Father, I pray that as we sing this song, that you'll help us to come to grips with anything that we need to this morning. If there are people here that are saved, I pray for them that they'll give up and receive Christ as Savior and Lord today. And if there are Christians here that need to revisit the place where they got in and give give you the control of their lives. I pray that you'll do that this morning as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.